says that Yechelki Megomri Halal B'chol Yom, it's referring to those who say Psukit Azimra every day. Says Rashi, what does it mean Psukit Azimra every day? I wish I was amongst those who say Psukit Azimra every day. What does it mean Psukit Azimra? Shnei Mizmorim Shel Hilulim, two Mizmorim of Hilulim. Those are the ones that, that's what we're referring to here when we say Psukit Azimra. And what are those two? Ha'alu Es Hashem in Hashamayim and Ha'alu Kel B'kadsho. So the one we're about to do now, and the fifth of the Hallelukas. Those are the two that are referred to as Psukei Dezimra. This is the very end of Sefer Tehillim. You realize the end of Sefer Tehillim, there are 150 prakim in Sefer Tehillim. This is Kuf Mem Ches. Kuf Mem Tes. And then Kuf Nun. Kuf Nun is going to be the fifth of the Hallelukas. That's going to be the end of Hallel. So let's take a look. Why is this Hallelukas so important? Why is this such a central tefillah that we say that my chelek should be amongst those who say this Hallelukah every day? Okay. So let's take a look. Says the Mizmor, Hallelukah, Hallelu es Hashem in Hashamayim, Hallelu Bamromim. Praiseworthy is Hashem in heavens. Praiseworthy is Him in the uppermost places. Hallelu kol malachov, the angels. Hallelu called Tzvav, all of the celestial God, celestial the legions. There you go. Hallelu Shemesh v'Yareach, the sun and the moon. Hallelu called Koch ve'Or, all of the stars. Hallelu Shemei Hashemayim, the heavens, and the Hamayim Asher Me'al Hashemayim, and the water that's above the heavens. That's the end of the very beginning of the Hallelukah. And what the Hallelukah here is describing is the upper worlds. Starting from the top and working down. Yeah. Starting from the Shamayim means the uppermost places outside of our world completely. The Meromim, right? We know that there are all these different levels of dimensions as we get up to Shamayim. In fact, we're told that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu first created the world, He created, right, sometimes they count seven different spheres. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world originally in its most pristine form. The world was created as a purely spiritual place. We know there's this idea of Tzimtzum. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so overpowering and envelops everything that there's no room for a physical world. And Hashem Kilu had to like carve out Kaviyachol from within Himself, because He was everything, a place that was quote unquote empty of godliness, in order so that He could start to create something physical. Because spiritual things and physical things are at odds with each other. And therefore, how can there be room for a world when God is everything in creation? Einod milvado. So this is the idea of Tzimtzum. That Tzimtzum was, in a sense, God creating an area that was, on some level, empty of His complete godliness. And it allowed there to be a space for the world to be created. But even when the world was first created, it was created as a very, very spiritual entity. And then there was a process of emanation, that a more physical form emerged, and then out of that a more physical form, and out of that a more physical form, and out of that a more physical form, until we finally got down to our world. And our world is the physical world, and where we exist, but our world has a dimension above it, which has a dimension above it, which has a dimension above it, which has a dimension above it, and each higher dimension is more spiritual and less physical. But it is, in a certain sense, is a parallel to our world. So things in our world have a root in a higher existence, and higher existence, higher existence, and eventually everything finds itself in the ultimate root of everything, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the process of creation. And we speak about different olamos, like the Atzilus, and the world of Atzilus, now the world of Bria and Asiya. So we're not getting into all of the details right now of that process, certainly because I'm not the one who can... right, exactly. So we even spoke about in the Gemara, Shasimcha bim Mo'ono, and we said that there are seven Rakiyas, right? That's what you're making reference to. And there are places. There's Machon, and there's Ma'on. There's different levels. There's Aravos, which is the highest in that construction of seven. Shem's Rochev Baravos. He rules from the world of Aravos. We say Rochev Baravos during Hoshanas. So here, again, without connecting everything to a specific level, but we're starting at the highest place, which is called Shamayim, and we're saying that Shemayim praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Meromim praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then the world of the Malachim praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then the world of the cult Tzvo, the Olam of the Galgalim, praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then we get to the Shemesh and the Areach and the Kochvei Or and the Shmei HaShemayim, the Me'al HaShemayim. All of the levels and all of the dimensions and everything that exists beyond our world is all praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, when we say that the world is praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? There's a famous medrash, I don't know what we want to call it, a little bit of discussion where it sources from, Perek Shira. And Perek Shira speaks about how the frog praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the cow praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the spiders praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the question is, what does that mean? That these animals, or the heavens and the stars, they praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Does that mean that the frog is really like singing like Halukas and we just can't hear him because we don't have like frog ears? But right, the baby's in the womb. Makelos, right. We can't hear them singing. Okay, that could be one level of interpretation. There's another level of interpretation, which means that their being, they don't have bechira like us. And they're not able to choose to not serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The heaven, the sun has to rise every morning and has to set every day. It doesn't choose every morning, should I rise or should I set? So, when we do the mitzvos, and when we follow the path of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our actions are praise of God. Because we are manifesting what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the world to do. Right? Mitzvah, by the way, the word mitzvah means a connection. That's what it means. It means a commandment. But tzavta means a connection. The Sfarim point out that the word mitzvah comes from a unity. Why is a mitzvah such a chashuv thing to do? Because a Kadosh Baruch Hu is thinking that he wants something to be done. But, in a certain sense, he can't do it. He's not physical. He's not in our world. So when we, right, if you ask me to do something and I do it, so my action is now, I'm the agent of you, and now I am putting your thoughts into action, right? Like, let's say Chas Hashem, someone passes away. So the family says, he had this dream to create, I don't know, an orphanage in Cambodia. We're going to build it. And it's going to be like a final manifestation of his dream. Oh, his dream is finally coming true, and it's as an expression in this world. So Kadosh Baruch Hu has a perspective on what he wants done in the world. But he needs a few good men to step forward and to say, I'll do it. And when we do it, we are linking God's thought with the real world. And that's why we have a concept, the Gadol HaMitzuva V'Yoseh is greater than one who's not Mitzuva V'Yoseh. Greater one who is commanded to do a mitzvah than one who wasn't commanded. Why? Because if there's a command, it means that God said, there's something I want to be done. And if you say, yes, I'm going to accept that commandment, and I'm going to do it, you're in a sense bringing God's idea, his conception, you're bringing it and manifesting it in the world. And that's a tremendous praise. When that happens, that is a great statement of who God is and the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when the Bria does what it's supposed to do, and it does because it doesn't have Bechira, so it's being Mahalel Hashem in its essence. The upper spheres don't have to do anything unique to praise God because their actions, by definition, are a praise of God because they are always implementing the vision of God. The God has a vision that the sun should rise, and every day the sun does that. And that is, in a certain sense, its way of praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because when you praise someone, you are recognizing who they are. If I praise you and I say, I'm going to listen to you because you're great and you're amazing. So by listening, you're praising. And that's what the Bria is doing. So we start by describing the upper world and how everything in the upper world does exactly what it's supposed to do and praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we end off this first section with Pasuk Hey and Vav, saying, Yehallelu Hashem Hashem, and we're commanding to the upper spheres, all these things. Praise Hashem, Ki Hu Tzivo V'Nivro, because this is what he told you, he commanded, he created you, and that's it, you do what you're supposed to do. He was Tziva, he commanded, V'Nivro, and you came into existence. And V'Yamidem Lad Li'olam, and you're eternal, the sun rises, the sun sets, people die, generations go, generations come, but the sun continues to exist. That's what Kohelet says. Dor ba, v'dor holeich, dor ba, but the olam omedes. The world continues. I always thought about this. I don't know, just like a philosophic thought I always had whenever I was walking. My family used to hike a lot. We used to go like on hikes and things like that, and we used to go to waterfalls a lot. And sometimes you're going through a forest, you find like a little babbling brook or a little waterfall, And I always used to think about how, right now we're walking, we're seeing this water fall, this flowing, babbling brook. But at night, in the pitch black, at 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, that water is still babbling, that water is still flowing, that waterfall is falling. And, you know, it's like maybe like the Giving Tree book. I know maybe it's like conjuring up a similar type of idea. If you know that book by Shel Silverstein, I think is his name. Yeah, exactly. It's like this children's book. And then you look at the back of the cover, you're like, oh my gosh. He's like the most intense looking guy in the world. But the book is a very meaningful book. The book says that, the idea that I always thought about with this babbling brook is that, you know, if you go on a hike to the same brook, you know, you go and you're like 5, and the water's just flowing, and you've got all these things going on in your life, and the water's just constant. It's just flowing. Night, day, you know, you're having ups in your lives, you're having down in your life, you get married, you have kids, people pass away, and that brook, though, is such a constant. You come back to that scene, you come back to that spot, and it's the same, you know, unless like some developer bought the land and built like a skyscraper there. But in general, you come to that spot. I don't know, maybe some of us have this in our lives. We have like those places that we go, maybe from our youth. I mean, you're still pretty young. But I know I have certain places that I go. Every time I go back to the United States, there's always like that feeling of like coming back, you know, as much as things change, they really stay the same, right? There's some like statement like that. And it's true, there's certain places where like a certain tree in my backyard is still there. And it's a certain constant in my life. And that's what it says here, that v'yamidim li'ad li'olam, chok nasan v'lo yavor. They're consistent. They're eternal. Now, don't start getting into, oh, but a star can die. I don't think that's the point about whether it can die or whether it can't die. The point of the Mizmor is that the upper world is something that's a constant. It's consistent. So different than us. Where we come and we go. Man lives and dies. And we're also not consistent in our behavior. We have bechira. We have to choose to do good. So the upper world that's constant praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then it continues. Ha'aluas Hashem min ha'aretz, taninim v'chol tohomos. Now we're going down into the lower world. So we've got the mayim, the oceans, with the taninim, which are the great big fish, the whales. The taninim v'chol tohomos and all the depths. We know that there are four yesodos. Four basic forces in nature that Svarim talk about. Water, fire, wind, and dirt. So those are all highlighted right here. Haluas Hashem, the taninim b'chol tomos, that's the waters. Eish, it's fire. Eish u'barad, shelig v'kito, ruach se'ara. So we've got the fire, and the hail, and the snow, and the winds, and the kitor is like the heat, like the intense heat. Osa devaro, these all do what Hashem wants. They also follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They do their jobs. He's got a whole system of weather. And there's the harim v'chol gavos, which is the afar, the dirt. So the whole physical world is also doing a job, and it's praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Starting from harim v'chol gavos, what? So is a wind. Is ruach sar is a stormy wind. Starting from harim v'chol gavos is like double dips. On the one hand, it's the last of the four yesodos, it's afar, but it also starts a new grouping, and now we're going to get to the four groupings of creations that we're familiar with. We've got domeim, tzomeach, chai, medaber. We've got inanimate objects. We've got plants. We've got animals. And then we have people. So, harim b'chol gvos, the rocks, the mountains, that's the domeim, the inanimate objects. There's the four yesodos, which were mayim, eish, ruach, and afar. The first line is mayim. Taninim b'chol tomos, the depths.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about four different groupings, which are inanimate objects, the plant world, the animal kingdom, and human beings. So we've got Heharim v'chol gvos, that's inanimate objects. Eitz pri v'chol arazim, those are the plants. Hachaya v'chol behema, the remes, the creepy crawlers, and the tzipor kanaf, the birds, the winged birds, that's the chai, those are the animals. And now we come to the people. Malchei Eretz, the kings, the Le'umim, are the nations, all the different, like a Le'um, that's a nation. The Sarim, the masters. The Chol Shoftei Eretz, the great leaders. And not only the upper echelon of human culture, or human society, but even the Bachurim and the Besulos, the young men, the young girls, the Zakenim and the Narim, the old people, the young people, everybody also has a job to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we're calling on all of them. Hallelujah Hashem. Right? We started in the beginning. Hallelujah Hashem in HaShamayim. And now we're saying Hallelujah Hashem in HaAretz. The entire Bria is there to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's just interesting. It's Farshim point out. It says the Kenim Im Narim, the old people with the young people. Old people and young people, they can like be arm in arm, Ki'ilu, and praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But by the Bacharim and the Besulos, it says the Bacharim Vigam Besulos, not Im the Besulos, because that wouldn't be appropriate. We're not going to have the young men and the young girls arm in arm praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it says the Bachurim and also the Besulos, and it says the Zakenim, though, in with the Na'arim. Now, what's the idea that the Zakenim are with the young people? So on the one hand, the Na'arim learn from the Zakenim. The Zakenim are the ones who know, and Shalav Avichav Yagedcha, Zakenechav Yomrulach. The young people will ask the old people, they'll be educated. But there's another level of interpretation here, which is that the Zakenim don't mind being with the Na'arim. When it comes to praising God, they're not chas on their kavod. Right, we know David HaMelech, when the Aaron came back, so David HaMelech starts like dancing like crazy. He's mecharker, he's mefazer, he's dancing like a wild man. And his wife says to him, like, you know, you're the king, you know, maybe you should, chill out a little bit, right? And he says back to her, no, when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll dance even crazier than this. I have no kavod for myself when it comes to the kavod of Hashem. For the Aaron, I'll dance like crazy. And maybe that's a little bit of the idea here also. There's a Canaan with the Aaron. That the old people, they're not worrying about their kavod if it's talking about praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here, another interesting point. Some of the Mefarshim, maybe I get in trouble for saying this, but I think the Radak points this out. He says that the Besulos, what are the Besulos? They're young, not married girls. What do they spend most of their time with? Their hair, getting them, beautifying themselves. Also, I would add the Na'arim. The Radak says it about the Besulos. I would add about the Na'arim. What do the Na'arim normally do? What do the Na'arim normally do? They're normally, like, you know, they're playing ball, they're playing around, they're hanging out, and yet here, all of a sudden, in this pasuk, we're being told that, no, everybody, the Besulos, the Na'arim, everyone is focused on praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here we've gone, when we went on the upper world, we started at the top and we moved down. Now we started from the bottom, from the inanimate objects, and we moved up to people. And it's sort of like that we're meeting at the middle, but we're highlighting, when you have a structure like that, start with one end and you go to the middle. Start at the other and go to the middle. When you get to at the middle, that's the pinnacle. And what's the pinnacle? It's these two psukim that we just read. The people. In fact, I would even maybe say it's the last pasuk. It's the common man. The Bachurim, the Besulos, the Zakenim, the Na'arim. This is the goal of creation. Mankind. Mankind is the pinnacle. He's set up to be in the middle here. And our job, we're the ones without Bechira. The mountains we're the ones with Bechira. The mountains don't have Bechira. The plants don't have Bechira. We have Bechira. And we're the ones that are the hardest. If you want to get the entire creation praising Hashem, the ones that are the hardest to get on board are us, are the people. And it says here, Yahalu Hashem Hashem. You'll see it's the same structure as Pasuk Hey. Praise Hashem. But here it says, Ki Nisgav Shemo. When will we all praise Hashem? Ki here means when. When Nisgav Shemo Levado. When His name is alone. Right? V'niskav, v'niskav, Hashem levado. Bayomahu. On that day. What do you mean on that day? Hashem is... No, right now, we don't all, not all of creation, not all of mankind. Most of creation does recognize Hashem. Certainly the upper world. He will be high. He'll be high and he'll be like exalted, alone. At the end of days, when everyone recognizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then it'll be clear that Hashem reigns supreme. V'niskav Hashem levado bayomahu. It's almost like the imagery of that pasuk is when everybody falls, everyone's going to fall. There'll only be one guy left standing, kavi ocho. And who's that? Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'niskav Hashem levado bayomahu. And that's the reference here. That when can the lower world fully praise Hashem? By the upper world, it didn't say ki niskav shemo levado. When Hashem finally reigns, because in the upper world, Hashem is already reigning. Where is the place that Hashem is not yet reigning? Down here in our world, because we fail to recognize Him. And that's what it says, Yalu Hashem Hashem, Ki Nisgav Shem L'Avado. When will it be? When Hashem is alone, when Hashem is the one who reigns supreme. And then we'll be able to finally say, Hodu Al Shamayim V'Haaretz. Then the praise of Hashem will not only be in Shamayim, right now it's in Shamayim, but it'll be Hodu Al Haaretz V'Shamayim. It'll be not only in Shamayim, but also Haaretz. And we end off, Vayarem Karem Liamo. And what, after the whole world and all of creation, even man, praises Hashem, what emerges? What's the pinnacle of all of this? Vayarem Karem Liamo. Hashem will raise up the horn of His nation. The horn is like, let's say, imagine like blowing the horn. The success, or the animal, the pride of the animal, right? The pride, exactly. We call it the horn. But it's sort of like something goes on the head. Like the animal's pride, he stands up tall, his horns are high up tall. Or maybe like the person blowing the horn, the triumphant blast of the horn. Vayarem keren liamo. Tehila l'chol chasidav. He will praise his chasidav. B'nei Yisrael, his am karov. Hallelujah. And here we have a bunch of names. The Izamo, chasidav, the ones who were pious. B'nei Yisrael, the am that's karov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are all statements of endearment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will raise us up. And this is the Nefesh HaChaim. We don't have time to discuss it now, but the Nefesh HaChaim begins with a whole description about how Klal Yisrael were given the keys, the power to control the entire Bria. Everything that was described, even the upper Elyonos, when we do a mitzvah, it reverberates up to the highest Olamos. And that's the stress, and that's how the Tehillim is ending, that all of this that we've described, all of this is to raise up Klal Yisrael, to do the mission of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, to be ambassadors of Elokus, to bring Elokus into the world, and to be that Am that is Karov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Have a good day.